हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 26, Sutra 110. Okay, Shamshaya, how can Prakriti be called unborn and at the same time arise from Brahman? This doubt is answered in the next sutra. Kalpano pare sach cha madvadivad avirodaha. Kalpana, creation. Upare shat, from the instruction. Cha, certainly. Honey, adhi, beginning, with, vad, like, avirodaha, not a contradiction. Because it is said to be created by the Supreme, it is not a contradiction to say that Prakriti is both created and uncreated. In this way, it is like honey and some other things that are both created and uncreated. Sutra Prakashika. Just as the sun exists in a twofold state, in oneness as the self-effulgent solar disk, and in difference as madhu, nectar enjoyed by the devatas. So is Prakriti simultaneously one, the cause of material manifestation, and the manifest material world. Sri Govindabhasya. The word cha indicates destroying the doubt. Prakriti can be both unborn, uncreated, and created. Why? Because the scriptures teach that it is created, kalpana, from the Shakti of Brahman. Kalpana means creation, as in the phrase, yata purvan akalpayata, as previously he created the universe, taittiriya aranyaka. The truth is this, there is a Shakti of the Lord called tamas, which is eternal and very subtle. Before the creation there was tamas, covered by ignorance. When there was tamas, there was no day and no night. Rigveda 10.1.23. Gaur adyanantavati. Tamas is like a cow without beginning or end. Chulika Upanishad. At the time of universal destruction, the Shakti unites with the Lord, but remains without merging into him. Pitvapasu praliyate, earth merges into water. Each element from earth up to akshara merges into the next higher element, and akshara merges into tamas. However, tamas does not merge into the Lord, but rather unites with him. Uniting with the Lord means it's impossible to separate it from the Lord because of its subtle nature and nothing else. Tama eki bhavati, tamas becomes one with the Lord, means this alone. Avyaktam prakriti, the three gunas arise from the Shakti of tamas when the Lord desires to create. Right? Because the basis of the material world is ignorance. Right? Because one may say, well, there's the three modes, but no, it's just saying that there's this tamas, and then on top of that you get the modes. Right? Because the ignorance is ignorance of our relationship with the Lord. That's how we get into the material world. Because in the spiritual world, no one has that ignorance. Everybody understands their relationship with the Lord. So, they're on that platform, the eternal platform, the Vishuddha Sattva. So here, then, everything's based on this ignorance or false ego. That's the whole basis of the material world. Then, it functions when it's manifest with the three modes of nature. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so here it mentions everything merges back into it till you get back to this tamas. But once you get to that point, and then it unites with the Lord, means it's with the Lord. It doesn't mean it merges or disappears into the Lord. Right? So it's trying to stop the impersonal concepts of this merging, because this is very popular in the material world. Because you have two points. People either want to enjoy or merge. Right? And the idea is by merging, they'll enjoy also. Yes.
When we say that the earth, for example, merges, what does it mean? It ceases to exist?
In the form as we know it, is that it just separates back into the atoms.
But Pradhan.
Pradhan is this Thomas that is talking about, yeah.
So in the
that's form, just a homogeneous mix of everything.
So it was never. Can we say that we actually never manifested itself as such?
Why would you say that?
Because
you're sitting on it right now.
Oh, I'm sitting on Mahatattva.
Yes, but you're sitting on the earth element.
Okay, which part of Pradhan?
Yes. In other words, Pradhan means where the 24 elements are mixed homogeneously so you can't distinguish.
So when we say, my point was, when we say that the element earth merges back, so we cannot really distinguish it anymore.
No. But
it's the same as Pradhan.
I mean the same as Pradhan means?
We cannot distinguish anymore, so we cannot say that it's been merged. We can say that it's just not manifest.
See, because it doesn't become a homogeneous mess within Krishna. That's the whole point.
I'm just trying to use the logic that we presented here.
Yes, but there's a difference, is that because it's the Lord's energy, so it's in its whatever its natural position, right? But the elements merge back into each other. That doesn't really matter. It's like if you put everything into a blender. That's merged. But it's not like that in Krishna. It just has this particular position within the Sarup Shakti.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Because it's the shadow of the internal potency.
Then I don't understand the principle we're trying to differentiate here.
Trying to differentiate is that it not merging, because there's this attachment to merging.
In us.
That's why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, to avoid that example of merging, then the point is it's there, but it's still in its unique position. Mm-hmm. While in the Pradhan, there's no unique position of anything in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the ignorance. You could say that's the unique position, because that's how it's defined, as we see in Rig Veda here. Manu gives a similar description. So here, tamas, before the creation there was tamas, covered by ignorance. When there was tamas, there was no day or night. So you don't have, it's not, it means its position is there, but what's inside is not distinguished. Does that make sense? So you can distinguish Pradhan, but you can't distinguish what's inside Pradhan. That's the whole thing. So only when the Lord glances, then all the different elements, then they separate. Right? So then you can make something with it. Right? So all the different 8,400,000 species can be made with it. But before that, it's homogeneous, so you can't make anything. But the point is the Lord and his internal potency are always there, and so then this Pradhan is just the shadow. Does that make sense? So it has its place. So in other words, you're left with the Lord and his pastimes, rather than just a merging.
Yeah. Even when the elements merge, like earth merging with the other element, the atoms of earth still remain, you know. So
yes,
they
but
don't lose, yeah.
But they're so mixed up, then how do you identify?
Yeah, the identification is not there, but the molecules are there, the atoms are there. So that.
No, but I'm saying, okay, that's, yes, but are you taking the same or a different approach to this?
No, the same approach.
The same approach, but then why would you want to do that? I'm saying, what's the purpose of it? You know what I'm saying? Just, in other words, we can say facts means there's the idea that somehow or another facts are glorious. But facts only have a glory in the context of how they're, you know, in what they're being presented within. You understand? So because, yeah, let's go back into a grammatical aspect here, is that when you have a word, right, the word then carries the potency to give an understanding, right? So now that comes in three forms: the direct meaning, the indirect meaning, and a poetic meaning, right? So the direct meaning is there. You know, that's what's always recommended. But you'll also see is even in the direct, then people get different meanings to that. Just like the example is given, the sun is setting. Okay? So now, what does that mean to different people? So the words are the same. So everybody will agree, sun setting, that the setting and the sun, even though the sun technically doesn't set. So you have the poetic aspect there. But the direct meaning of that means that it's gone down below the horizon. Right? And having gone down below the horizon, then we see that it's not visible anymore. Okay? So it turns into twilight and then night. Right? So that's the fact. Now how it will be understood, or what you could say the particular samskar, the particular vritti that it will generate in each individual, then will be different, right? So for the brahmana, he thinks now it's time to do sandhyabandana, right? For the young man, he thinks it's time to go out for a walk and, you know, in the evening sunset with his lady friend, right? Does that make sense? For the guy in total ignorance, he wakes up and now it's time for his, you know, his life. You know, for someone else, it's dark now we go to sleep. So all these samskars are there or through each individual. So the words themselves may have their factual meaning, but what they'll carry is what's more important. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So at this point, bringing that in, which is facts, but what do you want to do with it? What do you want to generate from that? You know, you said if it's a different discussion, that's all right. Because remember before it says, for one thing, for the words you give one interpretation, you don't give two. But as for discussion, you can take different angles.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you're approaching from different angles, and when you're approaching from different angles, you're using different terminologies to fit that angle. Does that make sense? So in this, we're saying that the material world, everything merges together, so there's nothing very special there about it. It's just tamas, right? Because of its position of ignorance. Right? So there's nothing to gain there. There's nothing special for the living entity there. But the pradhan then uniting with the Lord means it goes back into its natural state within the Lord's pastimes. Does that make sense? So there's a difference there. So we don't mind leaving it that we're not going into the detail, because the fact that, yes, all the atoms that are there, you can tell, okay, this is a earth atom, this is this, but the point is, since it's all ignorance, you can't go into it, you can't see. It's indistinguishable. So when it says it's indistinguishable, it means just that, you can't distinguish.
Yes.
Right? So to bring out the difference there, then it makes it that, well, there's something there, there is all these things there.
Mm.
Because that's the problem with The philosophy here, the Shankya, is that they feel that the Jiva and them are merged nicely together, right? And then all these different things, if you bring out, then it makes it more special. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're trying to bring out that, okay, the earth, it merges into the pradhan, but it still remains as a jiva, so it doesn't actually become pradhan, then from that angle, then that's okay. You understand? But you have to use a different angle. Does that make sense? So a fact itself is not actually very important. It's why the fact is said, what it will generate in the experiential or the understanding of the individual. That's actually what's important. So nowadays people talk about facts as if the fact itself is special. But the fact is not special. It's just a fact. It's just the existence of something, right? It exists, right? It has existence, it has a uniqueness, it has an activity it can perform, and it has a result it can get. That anything that you could say is a thing has all those four. So that's just the way it is. So unless you want to discuss what you're going to do with that thing, what is the purpose of that thing, then there's some meaning to bring it out. Does that make sense? But because of the political aspect nowadays, because that's the platform, the bourgeois platform is politics, but economic politics, not administrative politics, right? Because that's a higher level, right? That's what kings do. Bourgeois don't do that. They take over from kings. So what do? They drop Dharma down to Artha, because it's about profit. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? The king's there to see to the satisfaction of the people. Why do he controls everything and he has a lot of facility. Right? Why does the bourgeois want to have that facility? To be rich, to be social prestige. It's not about protecting the people. You know what I'm saying? The people were no more protected. It wasn't that the people were less protected under Louis and more protected under Robespierre. Right? You know. Like that. It wasn't, there wasn't any difference. Does that make sense? Because there's a different purpose. So we have to be able to see is that, so then they'll present facts, but the facts are so that they have leverage. The more I know about the other person, the more leverage I have. So therefore, we should be truthful, we should be transparent, we should be open, we should be cooperative, we should be all that. We say we, but it means you. And when it comes to me, hey, you know, I've got my position, I got my things, it's not your business. You understand? So we have to be very, very careful is that this concept of facts has become very important nowadays simply because it gives economic leverage. You know what I'm saying? We'll present it as though it's ethical, but what's the purpose of our ethics? Economics. Right? Because if everybody's good and nice, means I can economically gain. Not that everybody's good and nice, and that's a pious thing, and then everybody will benefit from that. In actuality, no, it's I want everybody to be good and nice so I can benefit. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty with this. And then in the modern intellectual, then facts are things that you play with. That's what you intellectualize with. You speculate on facts, and then you take it from different angles. So from either way, then the facts become important when actually they're not. Because the real fact is its connection to Krishna. And if you don't see it in connection to Krishna, it's an illusion. You know? You say something exists, but it only exists because of its connection to Krishna. So if you try to say it exists separate from Krishna, then that's an illusion. Does that make sense? So, therefore, because of the illusions, the Mayavadis try to get rid of the existence. It doesn't exist. It's an illusion. You know what I'm saying? So you get these problems come up from just focusing on the facts rather than the relationship with the Lord. Does that make sense? So therefore is that when you bring something, you have to bring it from another angle or bring it up as you know, if this is going to be in the same thing, how should this be applied? Does that make sense? Yeah. So it just depends what do you want to bring out by that. Because yes, it's all there. It's not that the atom merged into that, but it's there coming from that. So in other words, you could say that ether has all the aspects to it. You know what I'm saying? But it's not, so as it manifests, then they develop, manifest all the different qualities that are there. So earth has all the qualities. Right, so that's the grossest form. So that means when you go back the other way, then that would be its origin. So it's just ignorance because there's no specific manifestation.
Yes.
So it's not that the atoms disappear, but the point is they go back into where they came from. But that energy then is the shadow of the Surup Shakti. Does that make sense? So the Surup Shakti is what's non-different, but still there's a difference. Yeah.
Reference you read cited that Akshara merges into Tamas. Is that Akshara Mahatattva?
Here's Akshara meaning the I think that's the.
It comes in the footnote.
Akshara comes in the footnote. Okay. According to Sri Sampradaya, Avyakta has gunas manifest, and Akshara state has no gunas manifest. Right.
According to our Sampradaya.
It means if somebody's already explained it, we'll just use that. You know, if Ramanuja has explained it nicely, and that's accepted, then that's what's it. Like Sridhar Swami says, then everybody accepts that. So it's point when you're dealing with the general absolute truth, then it does. Whoever gives a nice definition, then it's already done. But the specific application and what you want to do with it, how you're going to utilize it, that makes the different flavors. So there you have to be careful as this is, you know, from the Shris or not. But the principle of surrender to the Lord and that's a general principle. All living entities in the spiritual world have the same understanding. Now it's just a matter of taste. Does that make sense? You know, just like, let's say, all cooks, good cooks, have the same understanding of cooking. Right, because cooking is one principle. But they may have different tastes on what they like to cook, how they like to be involved in the cooking process. Mm. But the science is one. So. Okay. So here then, So it's like the... So, uniting with the Lord means it's impossible to separate it from the Lord because of its subtle nature and nothing else. But you don't want to read more into it. You just want to be happy with that. Avyaktam Prakriti with three gunas arises from the Shakti of Tamas. When the Lord desires to create, Mahan avyakte, liyate avyaktam akshare aksharam tamasi. Mahatattva merges into avyakta, and avyakta merges into akshara. And akshara merges into tamas. Right? So the principle is that it's ignorance, because it's just the element of not having any understanding of the relationship with the Lord. That's the basis of material existence. Otherwise, why deal with this? Because it's unconscious. Right? So that's the whole point. So the avyakta is when the 24 elements are separated, but they have no attraction for each other. So you can't do anything with it. Mahatattva means now the Lord's entered it, so that attraction between the 24 elements is there, so you can combine them into all the different forms of life and situations within that will be, you know, in the primary creation. And then Brahma then manifests that in the secondary.
Right.
Yes.
What's the difference between Akshara and Tamas?
Yeah, what is the difference? They seem to be same.
It means you have all those elements, but then they're in Tamas. Right? The point, the ultimate point is, it's just this undistinguishable dark mass. How do you say? Before the creation is Thomas, covered by ignorance. When there was Thomas, there was no day and no night. Right? So it's just this indistinguishable mass. But then this element is that's in Thomas. So that's covered by Thomas. You understand? So you have the 24 elements that aren't specifically ignorance themselves. That's covered by ignorance. You understand? Then you have the 24 elements merged as pradhan. Then avyakta means they've been separated into the 24 elements, but Krishna hasn't entered those again to create attraction. So you can't do anything with them. Then when he enters it, then you get mahatattva.
So akshara and pradhan mean one and the same?
It appears so. Because then they're saying that there's that. So that's the thing, is that, you know, these various words are used, you know, from various angles. Because you know, it's just like saying, okay, the girl, okay, here's a girl. But then sometimes she refers to as a daughter, sometimes as a sister. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So that, or sometimes referred to by her particular community. You know what I'm saying? So it's just that it depends upon which angle you want to bring out. So then you use different words. Because they have, as we said, they have particular meanings. So if you've been trained in the meanings, then you get those meanings out. So that's the importance of the hermeneutics. Is that by definition, then when you hear the words, they'll bring out that meaning. Like the other day when we were hearing about the... that verse from the Upanishad, it was talking about the...
The cup?
Yeah, the cup and the lady with the three colors, and she makes everything else like her and all that. So if you understand the definitions that are going on there, then it gives the same understanding. Mm-hmm. Right? But if you give a different interpretation to that, then that gives a different meaning. So this whole thing... To the other schools, then that will mean, oh, here's merging, here's perfection, here's the ultimate goal. Mm. But for us, it just means that's the mechanics of how the material world works. Mm. Like that. And it's the Lord's potency, the transformation of the Lord's potency. Mm. So it reminds us of Krishna and his creative element. Mm. You know, the creative aspect. Mm. Does that make sense? But for others, then that's the goal. So, depending upon how you define things, then that's going to be the result it gets. That's why the definitions are very important. Nowadays, it's just thought for practical purposes. Then they can use definitions from anywhere. So we'll take from the modern concepts. But the problem is the modern concepts, the hermeneutics of the world, is to control and enjoy. And they can't even articulate that. They just do it inherently, but they can't articulate that this is what I want to do. You know, so therefore, one is a materialist without any knowledge, just an ignorance. So what's the benefit of using those definitions? Because these are the things that bring out. Because you see, if someone becomes too comfortable with using those definitions and methods, they're also quite uncomfortable with the Vedic approach. Right? They separate themselves and they say that, no, this is more practical and the Vedic's archaic and old and we can't use it and it doesn't apply to us, and there's a new upadi. You know, like I remember one person saying that, we're not Indians, but at the same time, because we're devotees, we're not exactly Westerners, so we're something new, so we have to create a whole new, set of rules and lifestyle and everything for us. You know, so everything should be that difference. You know what I'm saying? That's ignorance. That's the problem, because they're coming up with that, because every intellectual... educated person who identifies themselves as liberal will say that about their particular group. It's just that goes along with it. You know what I'm saying? Like you have a dog, it barks. So you have this modern educated person. They will say this. They have to. They're unique. We're special. We're different. We're not like everybody else. And everybody's saying that. You know, we're artists. We're different. We're unique. Oh, we're businessmen. We're different. We're unique. You know, we're intellectuals. We're different. We're unique. You know? And then within the intellectuals, oh, we're into the arts, so we're different. Literature and these and culture, we're different from all those scientists. And the scientists, yes, we're all different from those guys. You know, like that, we're into, you know, facts and, you know, like, you understand? And then within that, you know, the physicists, then they'll say that they're, you know, then the chemists will say that. And they have, so each one has a different thing. Then within the one thing, we're string theory and we're particle theory and, you know, we're, you know, the dark matter and we're not and like that. And, you know, so it just, it keeps going down, down, down. So it, basically what it comes down to is each individual thinks that they're unique and special. You know, and the whole universe goes around them. And so if there's other people that either agree with them in the way of they, you know, that they're saying the same thing so they can cooperate, or they actually respect them and are following them, that is your world. That's the group that's unique. And so you'll generally find out that that's two or three people. So that's the reality of everybody's uniqueness. So that's the difficulty.
Here basically then tamas, we are referring to the uncreated aspect, and when we refer as pradhan or avyaksha, the created aspect.
Well, pradhan will be the aspect, it says, is when the Lord wants to create.
So here the whole thesis we are mentioning is we are trying to prove it's both created and uncreated.
Yes.
So then the tamas refers to that uncreated aspect, and then...
Yes, and then you could say the prakriti is the created, the avyakta, you know, as whatever these terms you want to refer to. Yes, that would be a very good way to approach it.
Because in the last sutra we saw that pradhan and prakriti mean one and the same.
Pradhan and prakriti, yes. Because all this is prakriti. But it's just a matter of when you're saying prakriti, you generally mean that source of that, so that'll be pradhan. But the point is this prakriti that has that aspect of ignorance, because that's how it deals. Just like when Krishna, he's going to deal with the creation, he doesn't deal himself as Vishnu, he deals as Shiva. You know, as we're seeing in the Bhagavatam verses, that when the Halahala poison appeared from the churning of the ocean, then Vishnu, along with the demigods, approached Shiva. Right? Madhvacharya makes the point, it's not that Krishna couldn't have taken care of it, but he wants to bring out the glories of his devotee. So then he with the demigods go to him and say, can you do something about this? Because you're dealing, so because Vishnu deals with maintenance, Shiva destruction, but the overall point is that Krishna, in dealing with the material world, you're dealing with ignorance. So therefore he does that as Lord Shiva. So you see is that actually in that, Shiva and Parvati, they actually create all the living entities. So that's already done in the primary creation. So all the different forms are created from them. That's why all the different forms all have a masculine and feminine aspect, because it's created from Shiva and Parvati. So we see there, he's the creator there. And then you see in this way, he's maintaining. And then we see, you know, what he's famous for is he destroys it. So all three features are going on through the media, that aspect of Shiva. So Shiva is empowered with this potency. Right? And so within that, then Brahma is extended from there, Rudra is extended from there, and then Vishnu just becomes himself. Does that make sense? But when he actually deals with it, so Vishnu is maintaining, but he does that through doing with Shiva. So that's the point, is that you have these subtleties where they all overlap, and you have to be able to deal with them all at once. Does that make sense?
Also, Maharaj, regarding the Vishayavakya, you know that we had a confusion in the last class, that the unborn entity satisfied follows another female unborn entity. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Bhagavatam 1.10.22 mentions that the unborn entity who is satisfied is basically the Lord.
Right.
Yeah, and he follows Prakriti, you know.
He follows, or the Jivas follow?
Not the Jivas. He follows because he wants to initiate the process of creation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Smriti says, Tasmat avyaktam utpanna trigunam dvija sattam sattama. O Brahmana, from tamas arose Prakriti with the three gunas. From Prakriti arose Mahatattva and other elements. Thus it can be said that by saying Pradhan was created, Pradhana kalpano padesha, it indicates Pradhan as a cause producing Mahatattva, etc., and as effect coming from or created from tamas, right? So that's the point you had made, is that it's both created and uncreated. So therefore, how do I say? It's said to be Pradhan's created because it's coming from this tamas, right? But at the same time, is that it's the cause for all these other things. And so therefore, it's the cause of all the other things, but at the same time, it's still an effect that it's coming from the tamas. So the Lord glancing at the tamas, then you get this. The Lord is the cause of Pradhan and the Jiva, both of whom are without creation, but are also effects of the Lord. Right? So he's the cause, they're effects. So they're non-different, so they're not created, but they're different because they're effects, not cause. Right? At the time of creation, this tamas with the name of Pradhan or Avyakta takes the form of red, white, and black, or manifests three gunas, and divides into various names and forms. Thus it is said that Prakriti arises from Brahman. Right, so here you have this tamas with the name Pradhan or Avyakta. Depends upon which aspect you want to take of this tamas. Because it's all ignorance. It's just different varieties of ignorance. So, an example is given. Its dual nature is like Madhu in the Madhu Vidya. The sun is a cause, as a cause is one, and as effect the sun becomes honey, enjoyed by the Vasus and others, and seems to rise and set. Thus, though Prakriti is created, this does not contradict other statements which say Prakriti is unborn or uncreated. Right? Because in the Madhu, like we mentioned before, honey is made out of pollen. You know? That's all it is. So it's not different from pollen. At the same time, it's different because it's an effect. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So the pollen still exists in the honey, but at the same time, it's manifest differently. So you can say it's manifest, but at the same time, it's not, because it's just pollen. That's all. It's a transformation of pollen. So it's not that it wasn't there. Yes. You understand? Mm-hmm. Like that. Yes. It appears here that the sun, the Amrita, that the demigods enjoy is a transformation of the sun. So that it's both the nectar that they're enjoying at the same time as the sun is still there and rises and sets.
Mars,
except on the British Empire. It doesn't do that anymore. It just sets, no rise.
In some of the Puranas, it's described how the sun has specific rays that goes to each of the planets and nourishes the inhabitants there with nectar.
Right.
One that goes to the moon and causes the waxing and waning of the moon.
Mm. Wow. And then from the moon, then that affects the vegetables here. Okay.
That's called the Sushumna ray. It goes to the moon.
Sushumna ray.
And one for each of the other planets.
Oh. I mean, of all the nine planets. Okay. And then they take care of all the rest of the universe. Okay, they then nourish the 14 planetary systems. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:5:25. The Lord is the seer and the external energy which is seen. Works as both cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation. A greatly fortunate Vidura, This external energy is known as Maya or illusion, and through her agency only is the entire material manifestation made possible. Right? So through her agency it's made possible, but it is non-different from Krishna. So Krishna is actually what's making it work. It's his potency that is this external potency, and then that transforms into everything else here. So he's the support of the external energy, and then by that support the external energy can transform. Right, so then it comes down to this Shakti Parinamavad, right? So the transformation of the energy, right? So to not see that in relation to the Lord, that is illusion, right? That's the, what do you call it?
Vivartavad.
Vivarta. But Vivartavad then is a philosophy based on that everything's illusion. But it's not, it's Krishna. But not seeing it connected to Krishna, that's the illusion. So since they don't see it connected to Krishna, yes, they are in Vivarta, or illusion. But the problem is they're an illusion, not everybody else. You know, yes?
The doubt is that, how is that the ignorance in the effect, but there's no ignorance in the cause? Because we know the Lord is without ignorance.
Because he's the controller of the Shaktis, so the Shaktis never control him. You know, so when we're talking about this aspect of Ishwara, then he always controls the Shaktis. But in the process of pastimes based on affection or love, then he's controlled by that devotion. But that's done on the transcendental platform. But on the material platform, means the manifestation of the material world, that's all formal. So he just doesn't get involved. Because the energy comes from him, so it can't control him. Does that make sense? So he always controls the three modes, so therefore he's not controlled by them. Is that?
I'm just thinking, because we know within the Lord there's Kriya, Jnana, and Icha, and then outside it's ignorance, passion, and goodness. Is that how it works? It's a reflection of the original qualities?
Yes, basically. Means it's just which aspect you're taking. But yes. Yes. Because that's the influence. Yes. Could take that. So he deals with those internal potency. The internal potency transforms, makes the external potency. But because it's necessary that energy is always protected, therefore then you have the transformation of Vishnu into Shiva to deal with the external energy. Does that make sense? So it's through Shiva that he works, because he doesn't deal with the external potency. But because we see, like, when he glances at the material energy, that glance is Sada Shiva. So that aspect of the Lord, that aspect of destruction. So that means then there's the ignorance, because everything just goes back into nothing. So that's the difference between the Purusha avatars and the 24 Vishnu Murtis, or the Chaturvyuha. Chaturvyuha, they identify as God. Right? So he maintains the pastimes in the spiritual world. But because you have the aspect of the external and conditioned jivas, therefore then he expands the material creation, the Mahatattva. And so in doing that, to have the Mahatattva, you have to have the aspect of creation, maintenance, and destruction. So the difference in mood between Vishnu, in the spiritual world, or Mahanarayan, and the Purusha avatars, is one is thinking, I am God, the other is thinking, I am the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. So the creation part is Hiranyagarbha, the maintenance part is Vishnu, the destruction part is Shiva. Does that make sense? So these are carried out by him. And he is the only one that can maintain, because maintenance means you provide the facilities. Right? You can maintain someone if you can provide the facilities. Right? No, you maintain because you provide the house, you provide the food, you provide the clothes, you're maintaining. But Brahma and Shiva don't provide the material elements. Only Vishnu does. So therefore, only Vishnu can maintain. The others can't actually maintain. Does that make sense? But through the potency being empowered by Vishnu, then they're able to do that work. But it's on his behalf. They can't do it themselves. That they're not independent in their powers. So even though we'll say that they're non-different, they're Ishwaras, like that, they're only representing the Lord because it's the Lord's potency that allows them to act. The Lord can act independently. But so the point is he does act independently, but he himself does it through his agencies, like through his energies and through his expansions. He himself doesn't get involved. Does that make sense? So he's in control, but he's not involved. Because Maya happens down on the Mahatattva. He doesn't technically enter that. He does that as Brahma and Shiva. Right? Means he's there, but the point is he's there with his internal potency. Brahma and Shiva aren't. Shiva's there with the external potency.
Just to clarify that point, when the energy enters the Lord, then she is his internal potency, and when she comes out, she's still an internal potency. Then he glances at his internal potency as such, but then the transformation happens.
But that transformation is there. Is that when she expands, then he expands as the glance.
Yeah.
So Rama Devi is there, but then her transformation, that will be Durga. And then his transformation will be Shiva.
So when the glance hits the energy, it's already Shiva and Parvati.
Yes, it's already Shiva and then she's Parvati. It means that's farther down the line, but that's the principle you're dealing with there. So that's why then their combination produces all those living entities. Right? And that's how you get the primary creation. Right? And then from there, then it goes into each universe as the lotus, and then Brahma from that then does the creation. Like that. So you have, but the Lord's there all along. That's the point. That was what was brought out by Vidura. Is that he's heard the creation, the technical points of it, where the Lord glances and all these different things, but he wanted to know how is the Lord involved at each step. So that's how we got up to that point. Then you just saw there was Pradhan and there was Mahatattva. But it's only with that discussion with Vidura then is brought out that in between Pradhan and Mahatattva there's Avyakta. Right? You know, and the difficulty with these terms, because all those things are all together, so you can call them all the same thing. You know, it's just like when we say spiritual, we mean the whole spiritual world, like that. But at the same time, when we're distinguishing between the existence of the spiritual world and the activities that are going on in the spiritual world, then probably use the spiritual and transcendental. So technically, transcendental just means beyond the material world. And spiritual means that world which is beyond the material world. So they're the same thing, but you're bringing out different aspects. So depending upon what you want to bring out, then the terminology is used. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. That's why in one definition you use one thing. You don't change it. But the point is that these words are synonyms. So then depending upon what flavor you want to affect. Does that make sense? Yes.
So now it's about Lord Shiva. It's me, either Shakyavashvata or Guna Avatar, or both.
The same. It means he's a Guna Avatar, but how he is able to do his Guna Avatar stuff is because of the Avatari.
Yes.
Is he's been empowered by Vishnu to be able to do that work. It's not that the potency to do that work comes from him. That's the difference. So he's given and respected on that platform, you know, like the Lord, but at the same time as he's gotten the potency from the Lord to be able to do that. You know, it's just like the minister has the power of the government, but it's only there because of the prime minister and only because of the king. Like that. So you see his, but when he goes, it's just like the viceroy goes to another country. He represents the crown.
Yes.
That's it. You deal with him badly, you've dealt with the country badly. Like that. So that's what it is. But he's just a guy. You know, he's in office there, and when he's not, he's just another walla. You know, he's not doesn't represent the country. You know, so he can't tell his wife, you know who you're dealing with? No, you can't do that. You know, it's just it doesn't fly. You know. In fact, it'll give you, you know, you'll pay.
But it is said that Shiva is his own category.
He's his own category because it's transformation. That's why the example is given of milk transforms into yogurt. So milk can go into yogurt, but yogurt can't go back into milk. So Krishna transforms into Shiva, but then Shiva's just in that position. So it's a transformation of Krishna. That's why, because otherwise, who but Purusha can deal with Shakti? So since the external energy being the shadow of the internal potency, then in that form, then she still needs that protection. So then that's Shiva. Krishna is Shiva. So it's all his pastime, but he's doing it in this form. It's a different flavor, a different mood. Right? There's less qualities being manifest.
Which means sometimes you can say...
Yeah, so it's like in Shiva, you only have 55 qualities manifest. Well, in Vishnu, you have 60. And Krishna, 64. So even though it's Krishna in that position, he'll never manifest more than 55 qualities. So that's why there's a difference. Does that make sense? So everything's Krishna, but that point is everything. You're sitting on the blanket, it's Krishna. Otherwise, then why would you sit there if it didn't keep you warm or it wasn't comfortable or, you know, whatever it is. Whatever's the reason you're sitting on it. You know what I'm saying? Because it has to be Krishna, because it's him who is the potent. And then the potency is appreciated by us, right, in the interaction. But... if you're dealing with the lordship aspect, then we only take major principles to bring out his grandeur, right? Because being everything, then there's not necessarily a glory on the personal platform in everything. If you're dealing as Brahman, then everything's transcendental, so therefore you don't have to worry about it. You can see the Lord in that way in everything, like the Shanta Bhaktas will, right? But when you're dealing in relation as Bhagavan, then the seeing in everything just reminds you of him. You understand? Like we see the gopis. So we see is that the gopis are at one end with the aspect of rasa. So everything reminds them of rasa. They can see everything as Krishna. And the Shanta Bhaktas at the other see everything as Krishna. But one invokes that, you know, the most greatest absorption in him, while the other one, they're fully absorbed, but not in the same way, because there's no sense of possession, so you don't have that need for that personal interaction. Right? So for the Shanta Bhaktas, just remembering all that, it's as good as to them as if they're with the Lord. And so when they're with the Lord, that's also nice, because it's nice, it's the Lord. They don't have any problem being with or not being with, because they're in that way they're always with the Lord, right? But for the gopis, because of the sense of possession, then they see everything connected to Krishna. They're always absorbed in Krishna. But when they're physically with him, then it's perceived as being united with the Lord. And when they don't see him, then it gives the feeling of separation. Does that make sense? But unless it's of the Lord, how do you get the experience? Why is there bhava from that? Right? Why are they tasting all these different aspects of prema from separation? Because it is the Lord. But the physical aspect is not present. So therefore, there's the sense of separation. Does that make sense? So everything reminds them, so they're always in Krishna, but then there's a distinction. So that's the difference. Shanta Bhaktas don't get that. The other rasas do. And of them, then the conjugal rasa is the greatest. So, yes?
Maya, the other guy who was giving Lakshmi is glorified as Bhutatman, Bhuta Bhavana. He is the superficial of all the main entities. Today you are explaining so nicely that how milk transfers into your body.
Yes.
The yogurt cannot become milk.
Yes.
Or the pearl becomes honey.
Yes.
So Krishna is here, but so far we know that Vishnu is residing in us.
Yes.
But just, you know, we also come to know that Lord Shiva is also being called Paramatma.
Because he's the one, Paramatma then observes and sanctions our actions. Right? So how will that be carried out? It'll be carried out through the material energy. But who's controlling material energy is Lord Shiva. So in other words, Krishna's controlling Shiva, Shiva's controlling the material energy. So in that way, it's like he represents. You know, it's like the representative of a company. They represent the whole company. But at the same time, they're just an individual doing their job. So in that way, then you can say...
So in that case, that is our understanding. This is our understanding. But sometimes, you know, we see that the common people like Shiva Bhakta or something like that, you know, they consider that
because they're an illusion, because they don't see the connection with Vishnu. So they're seeing just the equation from Shiva on down, but they don't see what's before Shiva. That's the difficulty. You know, same with these philosophies here, the Shankya. They only see up to Pradhan. They don't see what's beyond Pradhan. So does that make sense? So that's what we're trying to clear here. Is that they will see... that's fine up to there, because everyone follows the Vedas, so then they have an understanding. But the problem is that they only see up to a certain point. Right? Krishna says everyone follows his path. Right, in all respects. Now the whole point is that everybody's following. But when they're following, they're going up this path, then they have a particular goal, so they stop there. So up to that point, everyone will have the same definition. But what's beyond that, then they'll try to absorb all that what's beyond into that position, what's there. You know, it's just like if someone's interested in the heavenly planets, then all the elements of eternal and happiness and this and that, they'll try to absorb that, what's beyond, into there. That's what the illusion is. Because it's not. They have a longer lifestyle and better facilities than here, but that doesn't mean it's actually eternal. You understand? And so then some will take that and then go up to the Brahman level and say, this is eternal, Brahman is eternal. But then their relationship with Brahman, that they can't understand. Does that make sense? And so then the mistake is made there. Does that make sense? So they try to absorb what's beyond. So only those who go up to and accept the Lord, then now you're talking that you become actually transcendental. But even in that, you can see all the way back to Krishna and Braja. Does that make sense? And in Krishna and Braja, then Krishna back to who's the, Radha Kanta. Does that make sense? Because that's the whole position. And so from there, everything else is coming. So that's the thing that's given by Lord Chaitanya, is how far back you see. That's not been given by anybody else. No, the Sampradaya can take it that far back. Is that so? Makes sense?
Maharaj, as you know, Parampara lines from
Vishnu, he's in the Vishnu Swami line. I know they're the Shiva Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya. Yeah, he's the original commentator on Bhagavatam. So his is the main commentary, and then everybody else is giving further discussions on that. But, so there's always, Krishna always arranges that there's individuals like that. You know, so when it comes to the philosophical, then you see Sridhar Swami. When it comes to the elements of rasa, then you have Jayadev Goswami. That where they come from, this, that, no one really understands. They're just there. So there's, you know, then these things are established because everything has to be based on authority. Does that make sense? Srimad Bhagavatam 3:28:44. Thus the yogi can be in the self-realized position after conquering the insurmountable spell of Maya, who presents herself as both the cause and effect of this material manifestation, and is therefore very difficult to understand. Right, because she's both cause and effect, means that she's the cause of it, because she's the one that's transforming and making everything that's here. At the same time, she's the effect, because it's Krishna through whose expansion she's there. Does that make sense? So because it's Krishna, he being eternal, everything in relationship to him is eternal. Therefore, there's no question of anything not being eternal. But at the same time, there's manifest, so therefore there is the effect aspect. Right? Their effect, and then in that position of being in effect, then they can be the cause of the next effects.
Krishna is the cause and effect of everything.
Yes.
And his energies are also the cause and effect of everything.
Yes, but they're based on him.
Yes.
Right. So in other words, he's the cause, they're the effect. And then through his energy, they're the cause, and then the material manifestation is the effect. Or the spiritual, from the internal potency, is the effect, and then it's the cause of the spiritual world manifesting. So everything just keeps going. So that's why you can see because the effect is always seen, the cause is always seen in the effect. So therefore, as that it keeps expanding, you can see Krishna in everything, because he is the original cause. Right? And then he transforms as all these effects. But he himself doesn't transform in the process. That's the unique thing. Is he remains himself, though he expands. That's what's different. So it doesn't make sense to us, because we're not God, but he is. So it works out fine. You know. And the problem is that we think we are God, so we try to interpret God according to our position. But actually we have to understand God through his position. Then it works nicely. Because we're trying to define God as feminine. And so that makes the problem. That's why there's an illusion. That when we understand that God's not, then it works nice. So, okay. So that's why it says, therefore, that's why it's very difficult to understand. Not difficult to understand, very difficult. Okay.
Why did you have the page? I didn't see it.
It's 28.
No. Oh my god, this one. Yeah, the third one.
Okay, so we're going on to the next Adhikarna. Okay, Adhikarna 3, the phase Pancha. Pancha Jana in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4:4:17 does not refer to the 25 elements of Shankya. So then this, this is the Vishayavakya of this Adhikarna.
Yeah,
no, I'm just asking. Okay. So the point is about this verse, Pancha Pancha Jana, that's the word in discussion, that it does not refer to the 25 elements of Shankya, as given in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.4.17, because that's the evidence that they'll give, right? So then, the Shankyites somehow or other want to prove Pradhan as the origin of creation. Hence they refer to the word Pancha Pancha Jana as the 25 elements. But the word Pancha Jana is the name of a group of which the Lord is the master, and hence the origin of creation. So they always leave the Lord out. That's the whole point of the Vedic six Vedic philosophies, is they accept the Vedas, so they accept the authority there, and they accept the aspect of supreme. But the problem is how far back they're willing to take this understanding of supreme. That's the difference. So that's why only the Vaishnava understanding of Vedanta takes it all the way back. That's the complete understanding. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. Sankyo pasangrahadikaranam. Sutra reference 1-4, 11 through 13. So 11, 12, 13, these three verses are in this Adikarana. Adikarana Prakashika. The method of the atheistic Shankya philosophers, the method the atheistic Shankya philosophers use to count the elements of material nature is no proof of their arguments. The Supreme Lord's personal form is the basis of creation. Therefore, he is the breath of the breath, the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear, etc. The Lord knows everything about the activities and enjoyments of the senses of living beings everywhere. He illuminates the entire world. Right, so it all goes back to his personal form is the origin, because the personal form is the original. Right? So therefore, he, as a person, has all this, because he is a person, he's unlimited. Therefore, the Brahman aspect, the Paramatma aspect, that's where he manifests the unlimited aspect. But he himself is a person, you know, who's simultaneously unlimited, but, you know, fits within a space, you know, that Mother Jashoda can chase him around the courtyard. Right? Because if he was unlimited in that, you wouldn't, where is the guy? You know? In a sense, so that's your origin, and that unlimited is how it, as Paramatma expands into everything, and as Brahman, he's, you know, then pervading everything. This makes sense. So since he's the cause, therefore he can be perceived in the effect of Paramatma and Brahman. And these are the causes of all the transformation of all the energies. Does that make sense?
Known as
Satkaryavad.
Whereas the Mayavad represent Asatkaryavad. The cause is not eternally present.
Yes. Satkaryavad.
Yeah, we are going to refer to this in the future.
In the future, we will. Stay tuned.
I shall.
Okay. Okay, summary of Adikarana 3, Vishaya. The Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.4.17 explains, Yasmin pancha pancha jana akashascha pratishtha tarn eva manya atmanam vidvan brahmamrito mritam. Since I am the knowledge of the as the nectar of Brahman, since I am in knowledge as the nectar of Brahman, I consider that to be the eternal Atma, in which the five of five beings and ether reside.
Five of five.
Yeah, because otherwise, it's like, what is it? It was Lincoln. I can't even remember it anymore.
This is.
Yeah, they're saying something 4 score and 7 years ago. Right? So he could have said, 4 score and 7 years ago. He could have said, I think a score is 20 years. And so he could have said 87 years ago. But it sounds so much better. If he had said 87 years ago, this, no one would quote it. But because he said 4 score and 7 years, now people quote it. Right? In fact, of that whole thing, that's the only part you know. Because that part's nice, and the rest of it, who cares? Right? So in the same way here, is by saying pancha pancha, it sounds better than going, you know, 25 elements. Okay. So since I am in knowledge as the nectar of Brahman, right? So that's why everybody, the knowledge, that's what they're looking for, is the aspect of Brahman. They're looking for that unlimited element, but they're not willing to accept the unlimited Lord as a person there. They just want that, and that nectar is like that. I consider that to be the eternal Atma. Right? So that is the eternal Atma. That's the aspect when you're talking about that, in which the five of five beings and ether reside, because the creation is coming from the Brahman. Right? So based on Brahman, then everything is there, because the Lord pervades everything. Therefore, then you can get all this manifestation. Right? So it's just a transformation of Brahman. Shamshaya, does the term five of five beings refer to the 25 categories in Shankya philosophy, or five other things? Purvapaksha. Since it is a bahuvriti compound, panchajana, modified by pancha, it becomes a karmadarya, meaning 25 elements, as described by Kapila. Atma and ether, though mentioned separately, making 27, should be ignored as separate from the 25. The word jana also means tattva, element, in some instances. Right? So they're saying that this is what they're saying, is that you have all these other things, you should just ignore all that. So it's just 25. Right? That's their point that they're making here. Siddhanta, Srila Vyasadeva reviews these views in the following sutra. So this is what they're trying to establish, right? That's their philosophy here, is that it becomes 25 elements, and that's what it's talking about. So here, as we see, it's bringing out as it's about the Lord. He's the origin of all this, and he is Brahman, and based on this, then these others are coming. But they're trying to make it that these 25 are the main thing. Sutra 1411. Nashanko pasang grahad api nana bhavad atire kach cha. Sharikya of numbers. Upa shari grahat, because of enumeration. Api, even. Nana, various. Bhava, states. Atirekat, because of going beyond. Cha, and. Although it is possible that the phrase means 25, in this case it is not so, because the elements do not group themselves into five groups of five in the living beings, and there are two extra elements, Atma and ether, in the list. Sutta Prakashika. Here the term panchajana refers to a whole group and not to the 25 elements of the Shankya philosophy. This is explained. Sri Govinda Bhasya. Siddhanta. The word api admits this possibility. Even though the phrase may mean 25 elements, in this case it does not mean that. Why? Because it is impossible to group those elements in five groups of five. Right? They don't come in five groups of five. Right? You can get four groups of five, but then after that you can't group them like that, because then you have mind, intelligence, false ego, that's not there, and polluted consciousness. Right? And so that's a separate thing again from that. And then if you're going to take the 25th as the living entity, you know, like that, then you know, does that make sense? So and then you have the six elements of ignorance that the living entity has to have to be able to function in the material world. You know, fear of death, illusion, madness, you know, you have to have lust, anger, greed, you have to all these different things. So you can't do that. It doesn't fit. So for them to try to make that fit doesn't really work. They do not occur in that grouping in various living beings, nana bhavat. And because with Atma and ether listed separately, there would be 27 elements, atarekat. One should not be mistaken by hearing pancha pancha. What is the conclusion? The word pancha jana is the name of a group, just as the word saptarishi, the seven sages, is the name of a group. This follows the rule, dikshankye, sangyayam, panini 2150. Words indicating direction or number may be compounded with another word in the same case. Each one of the stars of the constellation is addressed as seven sages. And when we mention the seven saptarishis, we mean the one constellation, right? Though it's seven, we mean the one thing, so it's like that. But each one can be called that. Right? Similarly, five panchajanas means one group of five members each, of which is called panchajana. Thus, five panchajanas means the five of the five elements. Right. So you have earth, water, fire, air, ether, and then so the, how that's going to go together. Right? Bhagavatam, the verse reference. Oh my Lord, your name, form, and bodily features are expanded in countless forms. No one can determine exactly how many forms exist. Yet you yourself, in your incarnation as the learned scholar Kapiladeva, have analyzed the cause of manifestation as containing 24 elements. Therefore, if one is interested in Shankya philosophy, by which one can enumerate the different truths, he must hear it from you. Unfortunately, non-devotees simply count the different elements and remain ignorant of your actual form. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
Why is this reference to that?
Because this is explaining this point that these 24 elements are there, but unfortunately non-devotees simply count the different elements and remain ignorant of your actual form, so they don't take it all the way back. That's what the Shankyites are doing. Is they're seeing the elements, material elements, and only taking it back to Pradhan.
Yes.
So they're not taking it all the way back to the Lord.
Then Panchapanchajana means the five of the five elements, which is?
It's coming up next.
Yes, but it means it's defined as 24 elements, but then there's always something more. You can always count the three modes of nature. You can. It's like.
No, they're not the 24 elements, there's something else.
Sorry? No, but I'm just saying. It means you see there's so many lists. So Lord Chaitanya has accepted this by the Kapila. So maybe in the other Kapila they got 25. But we're accepting Kapila meaning the son of Devahuti. So then there's 24 elements. Because otherwise some define, I think, 33 and 27. You have so many different groups that you can put together. Brahma defines it as 9. Like that, and I think there's even a group even less than that. You know, like this. So it just means that when you say mind, it includes all of the, you know, all the panchabhutas, the senses, the sense of the tanmatras, like that. So then you get, in that way, you have 15 there. Right, and so then the mind, so that's 16 is counted as one. So then whatever's left, then that's what you define. So it just depends upon how you want to do. So we accept this 24. That's our standard. And so any other definition we'll see in relation to the 24. You know, it's that, oh, okay, we're taking these and putting them together like this. That way he gets 7, or that way he gets 9. Or, does that make sense? Or they're taking that and adding into these other sub-aspects. Does that make sense? So then we'll take it like that. But these ones, because this is the atheistic Kapila that is being quoted here, then they're taking it differently. So. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.